The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
All are welcome. We're glad you found us. Unity Online Radio. The voice of an awakening world.
Are you ready to create a life that's intentional and dynamic? Welcome to The Intentional Spirit with your host, Reverend Temple Hayes.
And welcome, everyone, and so glad you're with us today. And I love, part of the reason I love doing this show is that each and every week I get to hear about welcome intentional spirits, and it just triggers something in my heart. An opening away, because I'm very mindful that there's a big difference between people who have good intentions and people who are intentional. And just as our guest is today, and it's the kind of thing where, you know, you live more inside out, not outside in. I don't know how many people I've met that they're going to do the book when, you know, when they have a space of time, you know, good luck with that. They're going to, you know, stop drinking when they don't have any problems. Well, good luck with that. They're going to make a change in their lives. Are they going to become a speaker or a minister when they feel they get caught up on the other things? Those are people, they have good intentions. They don't get them accomplished because they're not intentional. An intentional spirit moves forward, walks forward, still keeps feeling the dream, emerging a little bit ahead, but in a non-stoppable, desirable way. So I've really been looking forward to featuring Howard Caesar. He is iconic in the Unity movement, and he's somebody that internationally, which our show is, a lot of people need to know about. Welcome, Howard Caesar. I'm so glad you're here today.
Thank you, Temple. Delighted to be with you. Been looking forward to our time of chatting, really.
Me too. And with all that you've accomplished, and at one time you had the largest Unity community, you're CEO, multi-million dollar organization, you have a pyramid on your grounds and all of that. Early on in your life, did you see that this would be your path? Were you intentional about it? How did all of this come about with you, and how did you get engaged in being a thought leader?
Well, Temple, I think I always had feel like I had a spiritual connection. I always felt close to God. I didn't always necessarily agree with the theology I was being given as I was growing through, the early years and through high school. But I seemed to have some overwhelming sense of us being connected to all people on the planet, that they were all children of God. And I always felt, as much as it seemed like there was a message you had to be Christian to get into heaven, I didn't believe that, even on my own, from early teens. I just felt like every person, whether they grow up in another country and are introduced to a different path, they're as much a child of God as anyone, and that in no way do they get held out of a deep, deep connection with God. And so when I was introduced to Unity, and I was about 20 or 21, right in there, it was like I had come home, because here there was not only a path that was called Unity, that I really believed we were united with God, and everyone was, but here was the teachings that really opened up a way in which it accepted all people, was all inclusive, it honored all paths. It recognized that, you know, we have the divinity within us that we're, you know, growing into the expression of. And it just made me feel really close to God. It answered so many questions to me when I found New Thought and Unity. And so then basically I was kind of a shy guy. I was kind of introverted, and I had a great reluctance to, you know, move into any kind of leadership or being a minister. But I did say to myself, and kind of got, you know, I'd really like to inspire people and teach people and love people into being all that they're created to be. And so in my early 20s, I said, you know, I think I'll make as a goal becoming a minister when I'm 40. And you began this program with putting things off.
That was a safe route. Well, I'm like 20 now, but I'm going to put this out there.
So what I rationalize, as we always do when we're afraid of something, is I said, who's going to listen to a kid, a young guy in his early 20s? And finally, I was kind of miserable, and that's what, you know, kind of being miserable does, is it asks you to look inside. And one day I was just deep in prayer, and I got from the question, you know, what am I to do? I'm not terribly miserable, but I'm not happy. I'm not fulfilled. And I got this voice that was, so strong. It said, I told you what to do. You're the one putting it off. And those were the exact words. And so in that moment, I just said, okay, all right, I'll trust, and I'll go forward. So I applied for ministry and was accepted, went to ministry, and went on from there. And the rest is kind of history in terms of my spiritual path, and never looked back. And I've always been immensely grateful that I followed that guidance.
And what would you feel, because you know, you have been such a significant leader, and that's one thing that I see often from my own perspective, of course, but there's so many people that come and enter into our communities, and they deny this great leadership, you know, part of them, and they kick back into that woundology of not enough, or the invisibility. You know, we would see that year after year, right? In our communities of crowds, is that you'd see somebody, they'd sign up, they would join this, they would volunteer, and they'd be like, whoa, this person's everywhere. I remember going to a board meeting one time, and about seven of the board members were talking about this new person that they had on their team, and they were so giddy. And then we find out we're all talking about the same person. but then it's like, but where did they go? You know, what happened? You're a great teacher. What would you say to people that are, like you're saying, you felt the calling, but you're wanting to be in that? I mean, what are the words of wisdom that we use that say, step forward, you know, don't deny yourself your ability, don't go hiding?
Well, I think that we're all in the process of spiritually awakening, and moving in that direction, one has to be very vigilant. And being vigilant also includes having inner integrity. And inner integrity means really, really facing yourself. It means really getting honest with yourself and looking at those parts of yourself that are afraid, that, you know, keep, you know, jerking out to this place and that place and this place and looking for something more before they actually have established the foundation of where they were led first and initially. We can't go into the deep until we really understand the living of what's in the shallows. And so for some, it's just this part of our mind that is separate. You know, I really teach quite a bit that there is this separate self that we create, sometimes referred to as the ego, and it's the split mind, as the Course in Miracles speaks of it, but it's the part that, you know, keeps saying, seek and do not find, seek and do not find. So you keep looking for something as opposed to really working and being vigilant on what you've been led to that has fed you, that has given you expanse versus contracting energies, and to just stay with that. Everything has difficult times and difficult moments and ups and downs, and so when something gets a little bit rough and rugged, we can't kind of bolt. We have to, again, have that inner integrity that says, you know, what's this about? What can I learn from this? What is being asked of me to change? I've been led to this. This is part of my path, and I'm not going to ignore the lesson that is here for me. It's part of my curriculum. So a lot of it has to be with being vigilant and being totally honest with one's self, and that's not always easy.
What's coming up is like a poster, you know, that says the greatest lies are the ones you tell yourself. You know, it's just like in big letters right now, you know, that it's just, and that is so much a part of it, of what you're talking about, that integrity with yourself, because it, it often will show up in other ways. Like I say in my book, and I'm also so excited to talk about yours, One Plus One is One, is that, you know, you can do some kind of lie. You can call it a white lie, a little lie, a socially acceptable lie, but mm-hmm. you can't lie to your body. I mean, eventually it will lie you down, you know, in one way or another to force the truth. And as a frame of reference, when I used to move forward and then become afraid and then go hide, or step forward as a leader and then deny and then go hide, and wouldn't fully step into that, or like you said earlier, was just afraid, you know, and I mm-hmm. kept trying to project it, you know, at the end of my life when I got all my playing seeds out of the way. And I've been to enough disco bars. I think I'll surrender to this life, you know, that kind of thing. But what would happen is I would get sick. You know, I'd get physically ill. And then I would be just forced to really deal with this, to really look at this integration, you know, metaphysically. So with you, with the years that you served, and I'm sure you will have new ideas come up through the years, because 40 years is a long time of dedication and life. Do you have some of your fondest memories that come to mind that you go, wow, that's my takeaway from that experience? Do you have some things that stand out?
I think we all have moments where, you know, we just felt really connected with spirit. I always go back to actually a big moment when I was 15 years old, and we lived up against like a swamp that a woods that went on for miles, and then as you walked along the edges of it, there were farmers' fields and different things like that. And I just remember one fall day, at the end of the day, it was you know, nearing actually sunset. I went for a walk, and it was blustery and kind of brisk, a fall day in Wisconsin. And I was walking along the edge of this woods, and I just paused kind of at the top of a hill that was in a little field there overlooking the woods. And I just had come over me this incredible sense of the presence of God was all around and in everything. The wind blowing in my face, the wind blowing leaves from the tree that I stood under on that hill, coming down, the sound of the trees blowing and swaying in the wind. It just all seemed to come alive, and I just felt that the presence was in it all. And I remember I just started tearing up. And I had no problem that I was facing, no difficulty, no nothing. But I keep going back in my life as that being one of the moments where you just never know when a window opens or a door swings open and your heart expands and you let in this feeling of, and it's often in nature, it doesn't have to be, but it was for me. And I just remember how overwhelmed I was with the preciousness, the gift of life, being alive, feeling it all, being in my heart. It just felt a real closeness. So, I mean, that was one among many. I have had many with, you know, with congregants and friends and family, and where you feel a deep connection that it just kind of expands and flowers your heart a bit. And you're just grateful for all of those moments. And that was one. I had, you know, we'll eventually maybe get to the fact that I had some trips to India studying at the Oneness University. And there, for the first time, I actually had a couple of mystical experiences. I don't know if I'm prepared to talk about them all on radio, but because they're so personal and powerful. But I always thought, you know, everyone else gets to talk about having these mystical experiences. I wonder if they really exist. And then somewhere in my latter part of life and latter part of ministry, I was going there once a year and had some portals open that were quite amazing, and I'm forever thankful.
It seems that like there's a common thread throughout your entire life, prior and then as an adult, about oneness. It just seems that's kind of like the foundation, right? Your GPS. It just takes you to that space of that power and recognizing that and that essence and finding it places and bringing people together to celebrate how there is the oneness and the unity. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And have you knowingly been part of that, or have you always felt that there's the thread that you might feel you wander a bit, which we all do in a human suit, but that you feel like then there's an incident or a moment or you get called to something else that brings you, you know, right back to that space, right?
Right, absolutely. You know, I think in a sense, I feel like my whole life has always been about oneness, and I really feel everybody's life is about oneness, moving beyond separation consciousness, returning home to the heart, heart intelligence, oneness with spirit, and doing all they can to really quiet down the chatter of the mind and move to a sense of stillness where you feel connected to the divine. Now, that's a process. It's ongoing. It's lifelong. I feel like, you know, I've had moments where I was succeeding and moments where I fell on my face a bit and then had to make my way back. But I feel like my whole life has been about this idea. That's what I've always sought to teach. And then I always wanted to just deepen in a feeling of oneness and connectedness and realizing that, you know, we really are one with it all, with all that is, that really oneness, I have concluded, is the most important spiritual principle there is to value. It is the Mount Everest to be climbed. It is the top level of the Tower of Truth, and that basically all other spiritual principles and teachings emerge from that principle of oneness, because oneness is really about love, and oneness with love, oneness with truth, oneness with source. And when you have that, then you are actually resonating with an energy field and a frequency that does forgive, that does behold everyone as divine, that does feel connected with all of life and all of nature, that does see one's neighbor as themselves. All of these things emerge out of deep, deep levels of awareness. Now, you know, it's quite something to get there. There are layers to be peeled away because we have so much programming and so much conditioning from being in the world that we are seeking not to be of. And that is a continual process, and that takes awareness. Awareness is everything. It's noticing when you have something moving through you that physically from the body feels like it's contracting. It's taking energy away, and eventually noticing that, tracking it to what is the thought, what's the idea, and releasing it, or feeling your way through it, so that you can create space once again for something higher to move through. Now, a lot of us, you know, have a lot to learn to enter into that process. It's actually becoming more the observer, the witness of the mind, noticing that the body is actually a communicating device, that it's always telling you whether you're tuned in or unplugged from truth and from your higher being. So I just know that I've made some strides, and I also know that there are various techniques and teachings and approaches that just have to do with becoming more aware. And when you notice, the more that you aware, the more you are given the opportunity to choose to heal and to return back to something of higher mind.
And in that space of oneness, it's I find that often with a staff member or a family member or anyone really, is that there's this space and in that oneness that you're talking about, the mm-hmm. what comes up for me is that I love when there's no agenda, you know, I always pray when we're together, we release all agendas, you know, because sometimes we've already figured out what we're going to say and what that's going to look like and how that's going to unfold. And we're not doing it intentionally, but we're just kind of setting ourselves up, you know, for this illusion of control. And we're going to get to these topics or whatever. And yet I have found that the beauty of what you're speaking about is the oneness of the heart. You're hearing so much deeper than words. You're not really hearing words anymore. You're hearing a space, like a soul space. And it's so rich, you know, it's so beautiful because you can really identify with how close you are to someone else as a human being. It's so powerful.
Absolutely. It's all about, you know, connecting. And I think it was Mother Teresa that said our family circles are too small, and that basically we can, sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's difficult, depending on the family unit and what they've all been through and what they bring of their history. Sometimes it's hard to feel connected to a family member, and there's healing to be done. For others, it's very easy because of the energy that is being emitted toward you. There is, you know, forgiveness in every family. There are challenges that come up. We're always learning and growing. That's what we're here for. Life is a school, as you know. And so I'm grateful for my family. I bless them. They've been through their challenges too. And you try and be there and support. They have loved me and I've loved them. And I'm very grateful for all aspects of my life. But, you know, even with a family member, everything, closeness means being vulnerable and bringing the difficult things to the table to talk through. Communication is creation. And when you are able to and willing to communicate with another and be vulnerable as to what you're feeling inside, even though it's not all wonderful, there's an opening up that lets another person inside. And so when one trusts another at that level, knowing they won't be condemned, and that's not always the case, I know, but that's something to learn, is to just be able to hear and listen and not judge. And that's the very powerful way where people, family members and coworkers and friendships are born and are able to just flourish.
And then what we don't know that they're going to become. I was thinking of how much I enjoyed sitting in the space when you were doing the oneness gatherings when you were still at Unity of Houston. Do you still do those? Well, right now we're talking COVID. So, but I mean, any other time, would you be doing, do you still do those kind of gatherings? They were very powerful.
I was very much a part of the oneness community at the ministry I was serving. And so in passing off to a very capable person who both of us have as a dear friend and is Reverend Michael Gott. And so anyway, to the church and to the leadership there and the board, I agreed to step back actually for a full year and not be involved. And so in doing that, I wasn't involved in anything in oneness, and I've sort of then gotten away from it. I do my own work, inner work, relative to all that I gained in the oneness ministry there in India from the Oneness University. And so it's still going on, but I have to say I'm not as active with groups and bodies of people as I was when I was there. But that
takes
no energy
or power
away. Well,
I see that coming again. I see that happening again. I just see it. I'm not necessarily there, but I just when I think of and I visualize you, I see that there's large groups of people coming to sit in that oneness space. Obviously, it's post-COVID, but anyway, I just wanted to throw my two cents in about that because
thank you.
And that is part of where we need to be. And I believe that, you know, COVID is offering that, you know, there's a new level of listening and because people are not so engaged in the habits of life, you know, these are my habits and this is what I do. And some of it's automatic, some of it's intentional, but these are my habits. But when we've had this experience of stay here and do sacred time out or time in or whatever we call it, there's definitely more of an engagement. And I see that post-COVID, to have people sitting in that oneness space, because that's really where we have so much of the deepening. I think we move from knowing, it's wonderful to be in knowing, it's more wonderful to add to that knowingness, because that's the depth of integration within ourselves. For those of you that are just tuning in, I'm talking to Howard Caesar. If you don't know him, he would be a blessing in your life. You want to go to the website howardcaesar.com. And when we come back in the second portion of our show, we're going to talk about his book, One Plus One is One. Invite you to visit me at templehaze.com or to our online university, illy.org. So much going on to offer to people that are joining us internationally in this word that we call unity. That, like Howard, to me, unity means ways beyond a movement of just one organization, but the unity in all things. I like to say, united we stand and divided we are merely a distraction, Howard. And for years I thought I meant that about external things, you know, or mm-hmm. our nation or, you know, whatever. But my greatest blessing is when I look at that inside myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know? It's a process. It's a process ongoing. But it's a gift. It's also a gift to be here in this life. And actually, it is part of all of our divine plan, in a sense, to be here during COVID, to be a part of uprooting it and helping it to go away, bringing light.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're going to be tuning right back in, and we want to address COVID with you, because I really want to hear what you have to say. We'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world. Welcome back to The Intentional Spirit with Reverend Temple Hayes.
And welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for being with us. We are talking with Howard Caesar today, if you're just coming on board with us. And we're also addressing his work in the oneness work, the oneness movement, and also his book, One Plus One is One. And all that is just knowing that the best way to stay in touch with Howard is to go to the website and follow him on Facebook and keep up with the various things that he is and will be doing. I don't usually date the show, Howard, because, you know, I like to keep it fresh that can be reused and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
However, uh-huh. I think to date it with the conversation around COVID, because it seems we're going to be here a while. I was just very curious to, you know, when COVID first came, and then we, you know, the human laws, if you will, I always said the human laws closed our community, spiritual laws would open them. We've been in no hurry to do that. And we just kind of said, with this time upon us, let us seize the day and focus on our global work that we have been longing to do for so long, and it not become a secondary item, and let's focus on our online university and blah, blah. So it's just been very exhilarating. I'm aware that, you know, there's a lot of people that are inconvenienced and many suffering or losing their jobs and things like that. But I can only speak about the frame of reference of our own story, that we're discovering a lot of new things about ourselves, because we're not in a hurry to, and I certainly urge people, don't say you want to get back to the way things were, because that's not the law of creation. It doesn't create like that. It creates new in the now. And I'm sure with what you've been doing, I actually hosted a show you were on, you and Mary Mann and Morrissey there, your friend, well, my friend too. But what, what does it mean to you as a leader of someone that's represented a lot of conversations? What has this time meant for you, and what do you see it's offering us as a society?
Well, a number of things, I guess. One thing would be that it has allowed us to go ye apart a while ourselves. And we hopefully can use this time as a time of reflection and contemplation. You know, I gave a talk about 10 days ago back at my former church. Michael had invited me back, and we streamed, but it was my title was, Where is God in All of This? And but my big question, aside from knowing that God is always present in all things, the question was, where are we in all of this? And that really the world is a reflection of, you know, the masses of humanity. And it is a time where we want to look inside ourselves and see what where our heart is, where our energy is, where we are, you know, picking sides in terms of the separation that argues in our mind for the me and the not me, that is in sort of some form of competition or comparison or judgment or division, whatever, because, you know, there's a formula: as judgment goes up, love goes down, and as love goes up, judgment goes down. And so I just think the world wants to come together with a kind of a new degree of world order. The world is, you know, all of the world is facing this same problem, which is very interesting to me. And so, therefore, there is something here for all of humanity to be learning in terms of potentially coming together to deal with problems, not in separation, but really for peoples and nations and what have you to connect more and to communicate more and to collaborate and cooperate more, that is where the world needs to be going. And I think that what is trying to be birthed on the big scale is a new world view, and for old structures of sorts that are outdated and don't work anymore to die, and for new structures to be birthed and born. And so we are all a part of that because we're all interconnected. We're all woven into the intricacies of everything that's happening on the planet, all the way down to what's happening in our family, to what's happening in our own hearts. And so everything begins with us, moves from center to circumference, as within, so without. And so I just feel like every person on the planet right now needs to kind of work past fear of what is on the horizon that they don't want to have happen, and just trust that there's a higher order coming into being, and not so much get into judgment and taking sides. I look at, you know, the temptation I have for things as I, you know, look at the news and all that's happening, and things that I may want to separate on out and get unhappy or judgmental or even angry about certain things. And then I have to notice that that's not contributing at all. And so I have to go back to just blessing it. You know, I study a lot having to do with people who have had near-death experiences, but then have come back. And there's in the near-death experience foundation. There's a foundation that studies this stuff, and a couple of people did a God study, and it was basically studying thousands of people who met up with God, and they came back, and they remembered bits and pieces, and there was a commonality all the way through. And anyway, what jumped out at me is the number of them that said, even when things look like it's chaos and not working and you don't understand, it's all under control. It's all moving towards a greater good. So I think that this is a time for all of us to not lose track of our belief and the truth that all things work together for good. And it's only the separate mind that wants to build an argument and bring up evidence that this can't be so. And so on the other side of trouble and chaos is order and peace and something good, and it's the next level of good that is to be experienced, because we are all meant to be evolving individually and collectively. And so that's what I believe, and it's still gaining clarity, but I look at the fact that I have a part to play in this, and I'm owning my part and trying to learn from it and bless all people. I share my heart has gone out to, you know, the many, many, many families who have lost loved ones. I mean, gosh, through this and all the feelings around, you know, things that maybe have been botched, that they feel like this didn't have to happen. And so there's just all kinds of feelings emerging and needing to be healed. So I just feel like really we're back to oneness versus separation, and that oneness is the answer to every problem in an individual's life and in the world. But the world has a long way to go to learn what oneness is, how it's applied, how it can be lived, how you can trust it, how everybody can win, as opposed to taking sides. This world is still in that process, for sure. Jesus said, be in the world, but not of it. And in this world, you'll have tribulation, all those things, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So he said, you know, he did come into an imperfect world, and he left it. When he left it, it was imperfect, because it's really in our hands to model a level of consciousness that he brought, which was about love and oneness.
Well said, sir. Well said.
Thank you.
One of the things that since I've known you, you say this, life is meant to be good, and it's, you know, one of the banners on your website.
Yes.
How did that come to you? You know, the unfoldment of that.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Thank you. It's kind of been my banner statement, my signature statement. I think I've even protected legally, so no one can take it apart, take it away. But basically, that emerged in my first ministry when I was in Olympia, Washington. I was there for 7 years before coming to Houston for 34. And on the radio, I did 1 minute spots. And they were just a quick bullet, and people woke up with me in the morning at 7 a.m. It was the same time every day. But anyway, at the end, I always said, are you there?
Oh, yeah. Hello? We're here. Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Can you hear us?
Hello? Yeah, I was afraid my phone went dead or something here.
Oh, yeah. No, you're clear. We hear you.
Anyway, at the end, I'd always say, this is Howard Caesar, Minister of Unity of Olympia, reminding you, life is meant to be good. And so I became known as the Life is Meant to Be Good guy in this town of city of Houston, of Olympia. And when I came to Houston, I also then got on the radio and did one-minute spots and became, once again, the Life is Meant to Be Good guy. And so that has just stuck with me and the ministry and staff, you know, kept putting that out there as being kind of the banner statement from Howard, is that life is meant to be good. And I always kid people and say, you know, I came out with that before the statement life is good, or that's on caps and T-shirts and everything else, you know, that statement, life is good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so I just didn't capitalize on it.
It's great to have a personal mantra like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, one of them is, you know, this is the greatest moment we've ever lived, or it can be, you know, welcome to this amazing life. And, you know, there are days that I go, now, what did I say? Amazing. Okay, yeah. I'm going to need to step into that a little deeper today. You know,
yeah.
So
yeah.
I love that, because I'm sure there's been times where, you know, in a space or a journey, it's like, okay, it is meant to be good. Or often when we have mantras like that or statements, it's fun to listening to other people want to argue about that. What do you mean it's meant to be good?
Yeah. Well, that would be my next statement always was, it's not only meant to be good, you can create it good. And let me show you how to create it good. That really life is meant to be about love and peace and joy. And those are all attributes of a state of oneness. Oneness with yourself, oneness with God, oneness with others, oneness with nature, one with all that is. And they all overlap, because there is one presence and power, one intelligence, one energy, one unified field, all the things that you and I have, you know, been introduced to and studied, and really support this idea that we're all interconnected.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and it's such an anchor. It's an anchor mm-hmm. of realization to be that grounded at the core, you know, and that's.
Yeah.
That's the part of articulating it to those that are tuning in today and, you know, and asking yourself certain questions about your life, your purpose, your, you know, interactions with your family, et cetera, is to create a wonderful mantra for yourself, because it's like one of your favorite songs, you know, that you grew up with. If you have an anchor like that, it holds you liable. And it supports you in a level of self-responsibility. So it's really cool. How long has your book been out? And I'm going to be shocked by your answer, I think. has it been like 4 or 5 years already?
It's been only two and a half.
Okay, good. I feel better already.
It came out in toward the end of 2017,
okay.
Or the middle of 2017, right in there. But it's 1 + 1 = 1. And, of course, for everyone to understand that, 1 + 1 = 1, meaning you and me equals or are one. That one, you know, any two things, whatever their form, add up to one. In other words, the sun and I are one, the moon and I are one, the stars and I are one, you and I are one, the tree and I are one, because it's all, again, created by one source. And so anything around us of whatever form, and it's really an affirmation of the formless, and in getting kind of beyond just form into the unseen dimensions of life, which is just the movement of energy and higher frequencies and, you know, that type of thing. But I just, you know, in spiritual, in arithmetic, 1 + 1 = 2, but in spiritual principles, 1 + 1 = 1. And I go on to share that in all areas, oneness with oneself, with oneness with God, oneness with others, oneness with nature, oneness on a world scale, and then various exercises at the end of the book around some of that. So I kind of tell about my journey as well as many stories that depict this process.
One of the things I've always admired about you and your brother from a different mother, Roger Teal, and I've kind of watched you, you know, through the years, and I've been that way myself, is that to organically pursue other things outside of our field that continue to expand us. I feel it's just so, so important. For me, it's been such a path of shamanism, you know, understanding more depth of infinity and wholeness and energy work and, you know, those kind of things, because I needed more than change your thinking, change your life. And there is a part of that that's extremely powerful, that I needed to delve more into the energy part, into the heart, you know, and I love that you and Roger, you know, both talk about, and I talk about the heart. I mean, it's all about, it goes to the heart there. And did you just kind of get a divine message that it was important for you to pursue oneness and other places in the world that would engage and draw out of you? Or is there like a formula or a thought or any kind of process? I mean, I just wanted to know your thinking on that.
Yeah, it just kind of evolved in me. It just continued to broaden and expand. I was able to do some traveling and lead some pilgrimages to other lands and other people, and I got to see that basically everybody just is looking for something, and basically what they're looking for is, you know, that big statement, know thyself. And I think the more we know not just ourself, but thyself, the part of us that is our true self, our spiritual self, our sacred self, our Christ self, the many names, the I am, you know, that's not the I was, not the what I will be, but it's what I am right now in the moment that God created me to be and express as. And so I just saw that, and there have been windows where I opened, and honestly, there was a stretch of about 2 or 3 months where I just felt so connected to every soul. Like every person was a part of my family. I just loved everyone and everything. And I had that window open to me, and it was actually back in the 80s, and it just it plugged me into something that I never let go of. I mean, yes, I've moved in and out of it. I don't know that I've felt it with any extended period to that intenseness, but I feel like it was a gift given to me that said, this is the way it's supposed to be. This is who you really are. And beyond who you're trying to be in the world with, you know, as an ego or a separate self, focus on the identity of what you are. And what you are is absolute goodness, divinity, love, peace, joy. Emanate and radiate that as much as you can, and as much as you can identify with that part of yourself. And so that's been a lifelong work. And sometimes I fail, and sometimes I succeed, at least in increments. And so I therefore have been drawn to anything that seemingly connects me. That's why I've studied near-death experiences, the God study, thousands of people, and what if they'd come back and said similar, because many of them speak about the same truths that you and I teach, that just, again, reconfirms everything that we're about. I went to the Oneness University, and they, too, are it's so compatible with what New Thought teaches. Yeah, they had a few things like, you know, hands-on Oneness blessings and stuff like that, but, I mean, I went into the darkness to be initiated in one dynamic with them, because they invited me and asked me. You had to be asked, but I was in the dark for 5 days and five nights, where I could not see even my hands. And in that experience is where I had one of the mystical experiences. There's a part of me that apparently asks for and is drawn to that, and is part of my divine plan. I also have gotten so much out of the Course in Miracles, which is again just another add-on that feeds into what we teach about oneness. So I've just been, the Spirit has kind of steered me here and there to gather even further seemingly substance of knowledge, information, and experience, because really oneness is an experience. It's not a concept, as love is not just a concept. I mean, we can say God loves me, but if we just live in our mind with that, it means nothing. It's just a concept, and we have to get beyond and transcend the mind to getting into the heart, where we actually have God loves me as an experience in the moment. And those are things to learn and understand how to get to. And that has always fed me. I wanted to know that so I could pass that on to other people, to give them a taste, I guess, as much as possible, or to help them experience a taste of that I had for that period of like 2 months, where something in me gave me a taste of, this is the way you're meant to feel and perceive life all the time.
And it really translates to the people that you're part of, that you're engaged with. I remember Deborah King, the shamanic Hay House author, you know, when she would come here to First Unity, she'd go, oh, I'm so excited that I, you know, to come here, because I've had a new realization. You know, I've had a new depth of healing myself. Mm-hmm. I've had a new awareness, and I'm so excited to share it with you, because I know now we can go to a different level than we have been able to before. And it's so important, you know, for those of you that are tuning in, and it is a lifelong learning.
It is.
It really is. And right. It's about excitement. Uh-huh. It's not, I'm so surprised when people go, I'm sorry, I still have to be working on this, and I gotta do that. It's like, it's supposed to be fun. Mm-hmm. Because it's exciting to get to know new aspects of yourself, or at least I find it to be so. And with your laughter, obviously you feel the same. I love to be in the mystery of what I don't know yet.
Yeah. And it's just noticing what's going on inside of you and not judging yourself for it. but being with it and seeing what it has to offer in terms of going more with it or just releasing and surrendering and letting go, you know, feeling your, I would say, emptying out. If you have, you know, something that's guilt or anger or irritation or whatever, let it empty out by feeling it through. And then they create space to make a higher choice and let something expansive in.
That's right. That is so, yeah. So right.
And all I'm
right,
doing that
we've
all
got
the time.
A couple of minutes left for some of your wisdom, so bring it on.
Bring it on, huh?
Well, bring it on.
Well, you know, I don't know. We both enjoy music. We both have ministries. I was running a ministry, and now I'm doing some other things, still speaking and coaching and what have you. But one of the songs that has always been my favorite has been Imagine by John Lennon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it has those words, and I've seen in audience after audience tear up, cry, what have you, because they, again, it opens their heart, they feel connected, there are words that are so so to the core of all spiritual beings, and, you know, where he says, imagine all the people living life in peace, sharing all the world, no wars, no religion even, in other words, we're all one, but he said, you may think I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one, and I hope someday you'll join us, and then the world will be as one. And I always loved that because, again, it was in that zone of oneness that he was coming from, and that was some sort of an epiphany that he had, I think, in writing it, if I recall the story around it. And he was a beautiful soul, and I think he was really in touch with dimensions of truth that are truly at their core expansive and the way life is meant to be lived. And he had a vision, too, of the reality that we're trying to move toward. You know, all of us really do play a role, I think, in trying to be bringing, you know, heaven on earth. And the only way we can do that is to work on building an experience of heaven within ourselves. And then when we do, the people around us feel it, and they're touched by it, and they're moved by it, and they remember who they are by our remembering who we are. So that's my goal. I'm trying to be a bridge, and I'm trying to be a lamp.
You are a bridge, and you are a lamp. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. One of my favorite cute little stories with John Lennon is that his mother, where you say life is meant to be good, his mother always told him that life is about being happy. So in the first grade, the teacher gave an assignment, you know, what is the message or secret of life? And he wrote, you know, well, life, you're supposed to be happy. And the teacher told him that he didn't understand the assignment. And he told her that she didn't understand life.
I love that.
So he must have known from the very beginning that he was a difference maker, you know, and that he had something uh-huh. valuable to bring, because that's so cool.
Yeah.
I just have
that is cool.
always loved that story. Yeah. And I would love to know, you know, where he was at the time when he wrote Imagine, because you're right. There's many songs that, you know, touch you, but collectively that song just it brings tears to our eyes. Well, I want to just thank you as a colleague and a person that shares this path we call life. I want to just thank you, Howard, and acknowledge you for the work that you have been doing, and thank you for being a difference maker out there in the world. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show today. God bless
thank
you.
Thank you. I love you to the temple, and keep up the great work that you're doing.
All right.
It's an honor to have been on your show. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Bless you.
Thanks for listening. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world. If you're inspired by the teachings of Dr. Wayne Dyer, you will love the Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life podcast with Nadia De La Cruz.
You are a spiritual being having a human experience. My name is Nadia De La Cruz, and I started the Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life podcast to explore spiritual topics like manifestation and meditation with guests who share their own stories of insight, awakening, and transformation. Listen now on the mindbodyspirit.fm podcast network or wherever you get your podcasts.